All right, let's go down, and he happens to be in Southern California. I'll mention that. He's not in Cincinnati, but we love talking baseball with him. And that is Henry Schulman of the Chronicle. You can follow him on Twitter at Hank Schulman. Henry, how are you today?
I'm doing well, thank you. It's like Cincinnati weather here. It's actually kind of just drizzly.
Oh, really? Did you get to see any of the game last night? Let's start with that.
I saw about two or three innings at the beginning, which is probably about all I needed to see to know what was going to happen.
Yeah, that was a tough one, again, for Matt Cain, and all sorts of records, 3 1/3, and 10 hits, 9 runs, 6 walks, and 3 1/3. We've watched him since spring training together, you and I. We've seen all his starts. Where do you go from here with him? How do you feel about it?
It's one bad start. And he didn't throw strikes, you know, in a ballpark where you can't do that, with a leadoff hitter where you can't do that. So you just let him take his next start in New York.
Yeah, that's it. And he'll be going against Montero, I think, or Zach Wheeler, one or the other, in New York on Wednesday. And I agree with you. I mean, he's had three terrific starts, and now you just go from here. You had a great week on Twitter. And, Henry, if you want to follow someone who has fun on Twitter, at Hank Schulman is the guy. And the Brandon Belt Joey Votto controversy, comparing the two. How would you summarize your week talking about those two?
First of all, once again, I could summarize it by saying there are a lot of people who just ripped the heck out of me without actually reading what I wrote. And not just me, they do this to everybody. So, you know, please just read the darn article before you rip me. And the point I was trying to make was that in this series, you have a summit of two guys, Brandon Belt and Joey Votto. They're not the same hitter. I mean, Votto, let's be honest, Votto has had a better career. He's had a longer career. He's a career 300, 310 hitter, something like that. Belt is not that guy. But they both get criticized a lot because they walk so much. And Votto has had to deal with this for years, and Belt deals with it here because of the kind of theory that they should really just swing the bat. And because of who they are, they need to drive in runs. And I mean, the point I was trying to make is that's silly because for two reasons. First of all, on-base percentage is good. And second of all, when you start swinging at balls, you're doing exactly what the pitcher wants. Now with Belt, I mean, I think it's fair to say that his eye is so good and he can get a little passive at times to the point where he'll just take a strike, you know, that's hittable. But you don't want to change the Tiger's stripes. I mean, you know, he got to the big leagues and has succeeded in the big leagues. He's a high on base percentage guy, and you don't want guys going out of the zone to try and do too much because, you know, when the team's not driving in runs, because you're probably not going to succeed.
No, and, you know, his job, honestly, and they put him in this spot, his job is to, you know, hit with some power, which he does. His slugging is, you know, over 500, I think. But his job really is to get on and move people around. Now, the leadoff thing has been a disaster. They haven't been able to settle on anyone who can get on with Span out and Panic or Nunez, whoever it is. It hasn't really happened. But his job is to get on and put the pitcher in the stretch, which he seems to do. Now it's up to Pence and Posey, and when Crawford comes back, to make something happen.
Exactly. You know, I think that Belt, he hit so many home runs in the minors. He hit a lot of home runs in the minors, and he's a big guy. He's 6'4", 6'5", and, you know, I think that the fans believe because of his size and what he did in the minors, you know, he should be a 30-homer guy, 25 to 30-homer guy, and he'd obviously have more home runs if he were playing in a different home park, but that's not the kind of hitter he is or has been. He is a guy who does have gap power, and he actually does lead the Giants in slugging percentage, which people forget. The biggest problem with him is, and it's a problem for a two-hitter, which you don't want, is that he strikes out one out of every four times. But, yeah, I mean, you're not going to go anywhere if your guys who are supposed to drive in runs can't. And Pence, Posey, they put Arroyo down there in the five spot, and that's a lot to ask of a rookie, and he's actually done a pretty good job. But ultimately, if this team is going to make that long trek up to 500, it's going to have to be with those three guys driving in the run. As for the leadoff spot, I would just stick Panic there versus lefties or righties. He did not hit well against lefties to start the season, but he's traditionally a pretty even splits guy, and the at-bats I've seen against lefties, he's sort of gone back to that. I'd just stick him there and leave him there.
Yeah, I agree. I agree with you 100%. Henry Shulman is with us, at Hank Shulman on Twitter. As I said, a lot of fun following you this week. Today, a couple of things. One, you got to be in L.A. For the Vince Scully moment, honoring him and putting his name in the Ring of Honor. You grew up down there. Vince Scully is a very special part of your life.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, I grew up, I lived in Los Angeles till I was 19. And, you know, I mean, my first Dodger game was when I was 8 that my dad took me to. And, it, you know, just like a lot of fathers and sons, and also mothers and sons, but in my case, and mothers and daughters, but in my case, father and son, you know, the youth and Dodger games and Vince Scully all went hand in hand. And, you know, he does mean something to me like he does to millions of other people. And I was actually glad that I could be there to see it. I thought his speech was really good. They put him up on that Ring of Honor where they have the retired numbers. And it occurred to me as he was talking about it, here's a broadcaster who knew every single person. He covered every single person who's on that board, because he goes back so far. And to hear him tell the stories about the various guys, you know, from Pee Wee Reese up to Walter Alston and so on and so forth, I thought it was a great speech. I enjoyed that.
He's the best. He's the best. He's part of my life. Maybe growing up in Brooklyn, and he started in 1950, and he's been broadcasting, of course, not this year, but for my entire baseball life. So very special to me. I guess they never retired the number of Van Lingo Mungo or Dazzy Vance or Babe Herman. I guess that never happened, huh?
No. It's an oversight. I think they'll have to fix.
There's an oversight committee in the government, isn't there? I think there is somewhere.
Exactly. Dazzy Vance was a good player, by the way.
Oh, Dazzy Vance, come on, a strikeout pitcher. He was terrific. Van Lingo Mungo was more of the song. And Babe Herman was the Dodgers have the bases loaded. And then the question was, are they all on third base at the time?
Yeah.
That was the Babe Herman story. All right, Henry Shulman is with us. Henry, today, again, I'm glad to catch up with you with all these things, and I appreciate your time. Willie Mays' birthday is today. Thoughts about Willie on this 86th birthday?
Well, I'm glad that he is up and around. And I can't, you know, I saw him as recently as a week ago. Now, of course, he's 86 and he doesn't move around as well, and he doesn't see as well as he used to. But I mean, you were down there in spring training. I mean, he's still hilarious. There's not one thing wrong with his mind. He's the same guy he always was. And, you know, it's a thrill for me to know him and to be able to listen to some of his stories and sort of watch him interact with the players, which he still does. He comes into the clubhouse. That's where I saw him a week ago. I'm of an age where I really didn't get to see him in his prime. I kind of wish I did. It's like him and Koufax are the two guys that I really didn't get to see, and I wish I had. And you know, just from watching the films, and just from my memories of watching him on TV, I don't know that there was anyone better. I mean, the consummate five-tool player for so many years, and you wonder what he would have done statistically if he hadn't lost those 2 years to the Army.
Yeah, and plus played in Candlestick. How about that? That was the other part of him. Henry, April and May in baseball, I like to say it's you figure out who you are and what you need. And I think going through now, we're only on May the 6th, obviously, but it is 30 games, and I think you sort of get an idea of where this ball club is at. If you had to reevaluate now to say, okay, this is where we want to go to maybe fix a couple of things, where do you go?
Well, I mean, for one thing, the front office, I keep hearing, you know, do they sell? I'm sure that the front office is going to be working on two tracks. They're going to be working on the buy track and the sell track because they don't really know where they're going to be on July 31st. But, you know, I mean, if you take the leap and then figure out that, you know, this just is not their year with injuries and whatnot, You know, I think the biggest thing they have to do is think about trading Cueto, who's going to opt out anyway, who told me he'd like to play in the American League, specifically the American League East, and hope that maybe you can turn him into maybe an outfielder or maybe a starting pitcher. You know, you're probably not going to get Corey Seager or Julio Urias type guys for a rental player, but, you know, you might be able to get somebody who might end up being a good third or fourth outfielder down the road from a team that might have a surplus of that kind of prospect. But otherwise, I don't think you make a whole bunch of radical changes. I mean, you know, Belt is here for the long haul. Crawford is here for the long haul. You got Arroyo and Panic who are very young. You got some outfielders who are coming. Brian Reynolds is one in particular. You got Chris Shaw, big power bat first baseman who's coming. And so, you know, this is not an organization that does an entire rebuild. They won't do an entire rebuild because they can't tell their season ticket holders, their 30,000 season ticket holders, that we're going to be playing for 2019. But they do have to start thinking about how they're going to replace some of these guys, including, you know, up to and including Kane and Cueto. You got Bedia for one spot, but you know, maybe they need to, you know, maybe they need to look into a young starting pitcher as well. But they really don't have a lot to trade, to be honest. You know, in terms of if they sell, I mean, you know, Nunez is a free agent; he's not going to get you all that much. You know, I've heard people talking about trading Belt. A, I don't know if they want to do that. B, I mean, he's got 3 years left after this on a $72 million contract. So it's probably going to be little things that you will see, not anything, you know, really, really significant.
Ruggiano is up today. Drew Stubbs is gone. Not a surprise. They're going to go through, as I said before, I thought they'd go through everybody before Nunez went to left and not bring Arroyo up, but they jumped ahead and put Nunez in left and got Arroyo here. But Williamson is still there. Ruggiano is up today. You've got Slater, who I predict will be up at some point. Ruggiano for Stubbs, a wash, or do you expect anything out of this?
Well, I mean, I'm not there. I didn't ask. But just from what I know about the two hitters, you know, the advantage for both of them is that each plays center field. I think Ruggiano has a little more potential pop from what I've seen, and is pretty good against has been pretty good against left-handed pitching. With Drew Stubbs, you knew you were going to get a guy who strikes out a lot, but I think that he was even worse than, you know, kind of what you expected he would be from even the back of his bubblegum card. So I think this is one of those cases where I believe that they just want maybe a little marginally better offense from like a fifth outfielder here, or fourth outfielder, whatever you want to call it, until Span gets back, because really Stubbs wasn't producing at all. Ruggiano is an interesting guy because he's coming off, I believe it was shoulder surgery.
Right.
You know, his numbers in Sacramento were not, you know, star spangled explosive numbers, but I think it's fairly clear that from watching Ruggiano in the past, that he could potentially give you a little bit more against left-handed pitching than Stubbs could. So it's not a significant move, but you know, any little bit helps, notwithstanding the fact that they lost by 10 runs yesterday. They still play a lot of close games, and a hit here and a hit there can make a difference.
Absolutely. All right, Henry, I appreciate you coming on as always, and enjoy your weekend. And John Shea is going to take all the tweets and all the abuse, right? Right through
all
the
abuse goes to at John Shea Hay. Okay. All the abuse.
Henry, we love it. I love following you, and it's a lot of fun to get your opinion. So have a good weekend, and I'll see you when you come home.
All right. Good talking to you, Marty.
All right. That is Hank Shulman. Always good. Never at a loss for opinions, really. Never at a loss. Very good.